guys. And so thanks so much for inviting me back. I love this. You know, I preached here when I was 16 years old. That was the first sermon I ever gave. And I still remember what I said. I was so nervous. I had diarrhea the morning before. And I woke up. I came up here and I stood right here in this spot and I had memorized it. I didn't know how to preach the Bible, so I quoted from the dictionary. And my first line was that we were talking about hope. And it was hope is defined in the dictionary as a feeling of what is wanted will happen, or a desire accompanied by an expectation. And then I kept talking about hope. And you guys just loved me and watched me grow as a Christian and lean into my gift and calling. And so it's fun for me to be back. It kind of, you know, it brings me back. And so I love being here with you. And I've been thinking a lot about folly this week and thinking a lot about you and those two words now blending together and wondering if there are people here who are just foolish. Wondering if that's you. Wondering if you're ignorant and naive. Some of us just need to hear Jesus this morning, and we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And so we're going to open up God's word and learn about folly and learn about how to identify what is foolish. And listen to wisdom. So with that in mind, I'm just going to pray and set the stage for God's word. Lord Jesus, every decision in my life, every choice I have to make, I've got two invitations towards wisdom and folly. And so I pray now that as we open up your word, that as you speak to us, that we would submit to you and reject foolishness and seek wisdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you I was church planting. We're church planting. We've come back here to plant a church in the Jackson neighborhood, which is like First to Cedar to Larry to Ventura. 923 families live in that neighborhood. We kind of see that as a geographical area of spiritual responsibility. We're saying, listen, we don't have to attract everybody, but we got 923 homes to take care of. Whether they come to our stuff or not, they're our responsibility. And God is doing incredible things. I literally think if I died on the way home today, which is a possibility, that Jesus would still plant that church at Jackson Elementary because he wants it. And he doesn't need us. We need him. And so he's doing it. And so all the stories we have to tell have everything to do with Jesus and not much to do with us. And so we're following. And it takes people like you who are saying, Joe, we're behind you. We're behind you. We're supporting you. We're praying for you. It takes knowing that you're there for this little old church plant, this poor little thing that God is doing, this fragile mustard seed that God is emerging in the Jackson neighborhood. It takes people like you who are strong and courageous to stand with us and say, listen, we send you, we send you, we send you. We discipled you, we nurtured you, we mentored you as you grew up in the context of this community. Now we're sending you into our city to do things in Jesus' kingdom. So I'm pumped about it. It's going really, really well. Listen, as I look down this, was this here, the center stage, I think about the first time that I got married. In many ways, this aisle, let's just imagine for a second that it's the road of life. It's the road of life. And I'm going to walk down here. Will that freak you out, you Presbyterians? Are you okay? I'm walking down. Okay. I'm walking down the road of life and I'm making choices. You're saying, I'm going to get smart in this life. And you're saying, I'm going to get educated. And you're saying, I'm going to have a family. You did well. And listen, we're walking down the road together. And you're one on the road of your life. And then somewhere along the road of your life, Jesus, let's say Maytag. You could be Jesus for me. Would you stand up for a second? You look a lot better than Jesus did, I'm sure. Stay right there. At somewhere along the road of your life, you're walking. And Maytag says, now this is your moment to shine. You're going to say, come follow me. Louder, like you mean it, Maytag.
Joe, come follow me.
Okay. Somewhere along the road of your life, Jesus says, come follow me. And this is what most people do. Come on, Jesus. Now I'm going to follow you and you're going to walk with me along the road of my life. That's what most people do. So what we say is, Jesus is going to make me happier on the road of my life. In fact, Jesus is going to make me more successful along the road of my life. If I invite Jesus into my life, I'll have less trouble maybe. Because Jesus is with me on the road of my own making. That's what most people do. They add Jesus to their already good life. And I wonder, thank you so much, but you're not done yet. Just stand right there.
Okay.
I wonder how many people here Now, I'm talking to you now, friends. How many people here believe that that's been your Christian journey? Jesus says, come follow me, and you add him to your life and keep walking. Or here's another paradigm. This is the one that comes from the Bible. Jesus says, come follow me.
Hey,
yeah, come follow me. She says, come follow me. And then here's what I do. I leave the road of my own making and I join Jesus in his plan. And maybe it's something like this. Now we're walking this way. But I join him. You did great. Can you give it up for Maytag? She did such a good job. I'm rocking on the load of my life, and I expect that if I add Jesus, I'll be happy, I'll be successful, and it'll be a good life. But then I read the Bible. And Jesus says, for example, you know, in John 16:33, in this life you will have trouble. Does that sound happy? Or what about, you know, in Matthew 6? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And you expect that Jesus is going to join you on the road you're all making. You must deny yourself and come follow me, Jesus says. That doesn't sound like, you know, the successful life. You may have to lay some stuff down. Or Jesus says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6, listen, Paul is talking about his life. He's on the road of his life. And he's saying, hey, I was mistreated, I was punished, I was unjustly, you know, persecuted, I was sorrowful, I was poor, and yet I possessed everything, having nothing, he says. Having nothing, I possessed everything. Now, why do I start this way? Because, listen, Jesus is the wisest person to have ever lived. Wiser than anybody in this room, myself included, by lot. And if he says, come follow me, and it requires an act of obedience, wouldn't you think that'd be the wisest thing to do? You leave the road of your own making and you say, all right, God, deny myself. Okay, I'm going to be persecuted. Okay, you know, this may not turn out like my life may not turn out what I thought it was, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm following you. Unfortunately, many of us live life not that way. We're still thinking that he's on the road with us to our happy, successful, good life. That's foolish. And you're digging your grave. You die without Jesus. So you follow him on his road. The analogy, though, is incomplete. Jesus isn't the only one saying, come follow me. In other words, we're walking along the road of our life, and there's another voice saying, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. Every decision, there's another voice saying, come follow me, come follow me. Now you got competing voices, rival invitations. And our text tells us what the rival invitations are. So turn to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. Rival invitations. Two women, this personification of two women. One woman's name is Woman Wisdom. The other woman's name is Woman Foolish. And both women are yelling, saying, come follow me. Rival invitations. Proverbs 9. Here it is. If you don't have like a Bible, not time to download the app. We are in a church, you know. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her maids and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Now she's going to kind of talk about it. She's going to argue for her point of view, Woman Wisdom. She's going to say why it's a good thing you listen to her. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One. That's kind of the message of the whole book. Fear God. That's where wisdom starts. Verse 11. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman's folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on the seat of the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. The writer of Proverbs is speaking to his son. Well, a son. And that's the reader. He's speaking to you. Hey, listen. He's speaking to you and to me. We're not talking about the decisions that other people have to make. These are our decisions, wisdom and foolishness. And so these two voices, these two calls, these rival invitations, one to wisdom and one to folly, Lady Wisdom starts. She has these seven pillars, which is like a metaphor for like strength. Her house is strong. It's well constructed. It's perfect. She's got meat. That's a delicacy. You know what I mean? We get meat all the time, but for them, it's like, not so much. This is the good stuff. This is the good stuff. She's got the goods. She's got wine. That's for celebrating. This is going to be you spend time with Lady Wisdom, you're going to have a good time. It's going to be good. And it's intimate. He has a woman inviting you to dinner. This is an intimate thing. This isn't like a business deal. This is like intimate setting. And so in verse 3, she tells her servants, all right, go out and invite people. Call out. Let them know. Wisdom is calling. And then it's not good enough for her. She goes on to the top of her house, which is at the top of some hill in the city. Now all you theologians should be like, temple, temple, temple. So she goes on to the highest point of the city, temple, temple. And she's like, hey, wisdom, wisdom. Inviting you to dinner. Make the wise choice. My way, my way, my way. Come with me. Come with me. And who's she inviting? Verse 4. Take a look. Who's she inviting? Those who have no sense. Other texts, other translations say simple-minded. It's another way of saying naive and ignorant. I kind of think that's our default. See, we think we're wise, and we're actually like totally ignorant. And so we need someone to invite us into wisdom, a new way of thinking and doing. Listen, woman wisdom wants to take you from ignorance to understanding. That's what woman wisdom wants to do. Wisdom wants to take you from ignorance to understanding. You're talking about all those happy, successful, good life people. The people that just added Jesus to their life and, you know, they're kind of doing their thing. You're just ignorant of what it means to really follow Jesus. No shame in that. You just don't know. Now I'm telling you. And so here we are now with woman wisdom and inviting people to come to her because she knows that we're simple-minded and ignorant. I wonder how many of us are actually ignorant about Christianity. You know, like there are a lot of people that I meet that believe that upright morality gives us access to God. Maybe you believe that. Maybe that's what you were taught or what you heard from a friend. Upright morality gives you access to God. The problem is that's not what the Bible says. Hey, I got this neighbor. I seriously think that he's a better husband than me. Like legit. Like I watch him live his life and, you know, the way he treats his wife and stuff. I'm like, dang, dude, like this guy doesn't even follow Jesus. And he's like, at this point in the story, it's like so much of, you know, like a better husband than me. But thank God, that's not what gives me access to God. Because actually, Scripture teaches in John 14:6 that we come to God through faith in Jesus. I'm broken, man. I'm broken. I don't do it right. Not wise. I'm foolish. even with my own family sometimes. I've access to God through Jesus. Listen, God wants to take you from ignorance to understanding. There's another group of people, you know, they're ignorant about Christianity. They think that you deal with sin by trying to do better next time. That the remedy for sin in your life, disobedience towards God, is I just keep trying harder. Maybe that's what you believe. You believe that? Is that what you're... Maybe you don't even believe it, but that's basically what you do to deal with sin in your life. You just keep trying harder. A lot of people believe that. No shame in that. Listen, you're ignorant. You don't know that, in fact, no. Confession and faith, according to Romans 6, 1 to 6, is the only way forward. Confession, get it out there. Stop living in the dark. Get it out. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do, but you need to do it. And then grow in faith. Put yourself around people who have faith. Maybe even faith for you. Faith that you don't have. And begin to learn how to trust Jesus. That sometimes there's things that only He can do. Yeah, a lot of people deal with their porn addictions and alcohol addictions that they do in secret. They just by trying harder. You know. Confess that. Get it out there. Trust Jesus with that. Listen, He wants to take you from ignorance to understanding. He doesn't want you to be ignorant about the way we move forward as Christians. Or what about those people that really, like this, and they're saying, don't offend people so that you can influence them for Jesus. Don't offend people so that you don't want to harm your Christian witness. That's ignorant. It's actually not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in John 15 that, no, listen, Jesus says you can expect rejection and persecution. That's what you can expect. You talk about Jesus, and you talk about the Jesus way, it's going to stand counter to our culture. And you can expect rejection and persecution. Listen, God wants to take you from ignorance to understanding. Or maybe you're just a Matthew 25 person. You know Matthew 25, yeah? Are you Christians in the room? Bible readers? Yeah. It's like, hey, I know you. I went to church, yo. I know you. I tithed. I even evangelized. Then Jesus says, I never knew you. You didn't take care of the poor. Where were you when I was sick? Where were you when I was naked? I never saw you. So maybe it's like you're ignorant. You actually think you're a Christian, but what if Jesus wants to take you from ignorance to understanding so that He could save you? All right. Enough on wisdom. Wasn't that fun? I'm talking about wisdom. Are we having a good time? You happy yet? Let's talk about foolishness. Let's go one step further. We're going to talk about foolishness. All right, here we go. Verses 13 to 18. Take a look. This woman, foolish. She's boisterous. She's loud. Some translations say noisy. The root of this word, foolish, is used to describe in chapter 7 a promiscuous woman who's luring men away from the proper way. You know, this is an incredible situation, this woman. But notice in chapter 13, verse 13, what do you notice about this woman, this personification, woman foolish? She is simple-minded. She's ignorant. And so an ignorant person, verse 16, is calling out to other ignorant people. Hey, I was in the grocery store the other day, El Super, around the corner from the house. And in the lineups, there's like these, you know, the magazine racks and stuff. And this couple in front of me, they were talking about Ben and Jen. Apparently they broke up. Did you guys hear? It's all over Twitter. Seriously. Yeah, Ben and Jen broke up. And they were all concerned and, you know, interested. And, you know, it's like the latest thing. So ignorant writers are talking to other ignorant buyers. Like, who cares? Let's pray for them, but let's not get so involved. Like, what's the matter to you? You know, are you one of those people that kind of like, you're just a pop culture junkie? You know, it's like you know everything about everybody. Yeah. It's like ignorant writers are calling you. This simple-minded, foolish person is calling out to other simple-minded people. Hey, let's do this. Can I borrow you again? You're such a good, you know, you're good at this. So I have this rope here. I'm wondering, could you just, could you take this rope and just take it all the way over there for me? Yeah, just like string it all the way out. Let's just let it unravel. Wow, look at that. Yeah, she's doing a good job, isn't she? Yeah, it's just good. Hold it up really high, just like this. Yeah. Imagine for a second that this, friends, listen. Imagine for a second that this is the timeline of your existence. This is the timeline of your existence. Now, imagine for a second that it didn't end with Maytag, but it just kept going on and on and on and on. Can you just imagine that for a second? It's just this kind of like starting point, and it kind of goes on and on and on and on and on. Yeah? Okay. Now, this right here is your life. You know, it's like a starting point. You're born. The doctor went, pat you on the bum. You cried. And it begins. Life begins. You know, it's like, hey, you're in the womb, and you develop, and someone feeds you and nurtures you. You're disciples that follow Jesus or not. And, you know, it's you're on the road of your life, and here it is. This is it. And some people, this is all you think about. This. Like, isn't that crazy when you think about the fact that this is the timeline of your existence, and it goes on forever? And this is all you're thinking about. I'm going to get to this age, then I'm going to do this because it'll make me successful. And then I'm going to do this so I can save enough. And then I'll have enough money when I retire to live the good life. Here. And like, it's so like, this is it. And then there's Jesus who's saying, actually, what you do in this life impacts the next. Like, how crazy would it be to focus just, you know, foolish that would be? You know, foolish that would be. You see, God wants to take you from ignorance to understanding. Listen. This isn't all there is. And some of you are pretending like this is it. I want you to become a Christian today. I want you to hear that Jesus will save you. He'll save you. I want you to think about what you do here matters forever, forever. The way that you care for the poor now matters forever. The way that you use your life now for God matters forever. I want to save you. Jesus wants to save you from ignorance and foolishness to wisdom. Thanks, Maytag. You're the best. Maytag's the best. Love Maytag. Woman Foolish is calling out to a group of people, the same group of people that Woman Wisdom is calling out to. Except verse 17, take a look. Her water is stolen. Her food is eaten in secret. You see, you thought that what you expected would bring you life is empty. That's foolishness is like that. It looks pretty good on the outside. Looks pretty good on the outside, but then you kind of get into it. You start doing stupid stuff. And all of a sudden, it underwhelms. It's empty. Doesn't fulfill you. And check out where her dinner guests end. Where do her dinner guests end? In the grave. It's like you go over to her house, she kills you and puts you in the basement. Foolish living digs your own grave. Where are my teenagers? I wish they were, they used to sit here. What you think is so important now, I'm not speaking to you because you're much more wise. We'll dig your grave. Be warned. But let's just not talk about teenagers. We're all in this together, my friends. You act dumb, you dig your grave. You make that a way of life, it kills you forever. Her dinner guests end up in the grave. You think that the foolish choices that you're getting away with now in business, with the kind of friends you choose, with the way that you parent your kids, you think that you're getting away from it and away with it. You're not. Her dinner guests end up in the grave. I mean, some of you are like, I'm going to do my life without God. I don't need him. Some of you think that. You're like, hey, you're a my will, my way person. But some of you are like more, you know, enlightened, and you're saying, it's his will, my way. Some of you are more enlightened. Both of those are foolish. My will, my way is foolish, and His will, my way is foolish. You know what the God way is? His will, His way. His will, His way. Foolish choices dig graves. It overpromises and underdelivers. It overpromises and underdelivers. Things that you think will make you happy and successful and give you a good life underperform. They underperform. If you think that that career is the good life, is that foolish or is that wise? You got to ask that question. Here's what's frustrating about this sermon. Can I just confess to you something? Here's what's foolish, or here's what's kind of crazy about this text. There are 1,000 different choices in this room right now. And this text isn't helping you answer which is foolish or wise. You've got to ask the question to the decisions most present in your life right now. Is this foolishness or is this wisdom from God? You've got to do that work. Listen, you've got two voices, and you're the one that has to decide who to go home with. Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, personifications of wise and foolish thinking and behavior. But the reality is it's not just a personification. I mean, I read 1 Corinthians 1:24. Jesus, in that text, says Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. So it's like, hey, Lady Wisdom represents God Himself. And if Lady Wisdom represents God Himself, what does Lady Folly represent? Lady Folly, Lady Foolish, represents the pagan gods of that world. The people who are reading that text. Like we're talking about, like Marduk and Baal and Asher and Asherah and, Molech, all those guys. All the stuff that they represent. You know what it is? We don't have those gods. We got other ones. In our culture, we got a variety of counterfeit gods who are calling out to you every single day saying, come follow me, counterfeit gods. Tim Keller speaks about counterfeit gods. I know you guys were Reformed people. Yes, you like Tim Keller. I do too. Tim Keller says this. He says, listen, counterfeit gods take good things like a successful career, love, material possessions, and even family, and turn them into ultimate things. Counterfeit gods in our culture take good things like a successful career, love, material possessions, even family, and turns them into ultimate things. There's a variety of gods, lower G, that's calling out to you every day saying, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, successful career, and oh, love, this type of love, and oh, material possessions, this is what you need, and oh, and family is the most important thing. Listen, the phrase, focus on the family, bad phrase. Don't focus on the family. Focus on Jesus. You get family too. Focus on Jesus. You see, the counterfeit gods of our culture focus on things like significance and security and safety, promising you fulfillment, but they under-deliver. And they'll put you in the grave if you stick with them long enough. It's utter foolishness to live your life aiming for your own significance, aiming for a sense of security, aiming for a sense of safety, and finding it in things like careers, love, material possessions, and even family. It's foolishness. And so in chapter 10, verse 1 of Proverbs, he'll say, a wise son makes his father glad. Man, we got to aim for wisdom in every choice. We got to aim for wisdom. What's God's will, God's way here? I mean, Jesus talked a lot about wisdom. Eh? He talked a lot about it. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. You know it, some of you. You there? I like the sound of pages flipping. It means you're serious about the Word of God. I like it. All you people flipping, you're like, flipping, I don't know, it's not so good. Okay, here we go. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, starting in verse 24, Jesus is speaking. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. Great crash. Almost like falling into a grave. You're on life's journey. We're on life's journey. And in every decision today, there are two invitations. One is towards foolish thinking and foolish living. That's probably our default. And the other is towards wisdom, God's will, God's way. And it would take knowing Jesus. It would take spending time with Him and reading His Word and spending time with other believers who are walking in wisdom and a variety of things like that. But as we walk life's road and listen to the invitations being afforded to us, the point of our text is simple in understanding, difficult in application. Here's the point of the text. Be warned. Though attractive, a foolish choice digs your grave. It overpromises and it underdelivers. So choose wisdom. God's will, God's way. Let me say it again. The point of our text is simple to understand but hard to apply, and I'm landing it in your lap. Be warned. Though attractive, foolish choices dig your grave. They overpromise and they underperform. So choose wisdom, God's will, God's way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I feel the pressure. I feel the pressure of that decision. I feel the weight of the decision towards wisdom and not foolishness. But I pray that we all would feel that weight. That we wouldn't be ignorant and simple-minded, but that we would choose to be with You, who can lead us in wisdom, so we don't die in foolishness. I pray for those here in this room who consider themselves Christians but now are wondering if, in fact, they've actually joined You. I pray that You would convict them of sin and You would show them grace, that You would forgive them, that You would overwhelm them with how much You are after them, desiring a relationship with them. I pray for those in the room now who have never made a decision to follow Jesus, the wisest thing you can do, the wisest man that ever lived. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord Jesus, that's saying, I'm done with foolishness. I want to learn about wisdom. I pray that You would convict them now and draw them into a relationship with You. And for those of us, the rest of us, whose default, we're like, yeah, we're following You, we love You, but I'm ignorant. I pray that You would give us the wisdom to choose rightly in the choices that we need to make today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.